I was in my daughter's room talking to my daughter, and I said, "Oh, don't forget to take your water bottle, your Stanley." And she just looked at me and was like, "Stanley?" And she's like, "Dad, that's not a Stanley. It's a
Hydro Flask."
Yeah, maybe it was a Hydro Flask. It was as if I'd offended her. She goes, "You remember when Stanley was a thing?" And I was like, "Yeah, you had to have like 8 of them."
Oh my God. All right, episode 169. We're back, Rob.
169.
We're back. What's up? We're back. It's summer. It's hot. You know, the sun is shining. Birds are chirping, you know?
Yeah.
So.
It is. We're in the rainy season.
It
rains for like an hour or an hour and a half every day, and then it's just
thick.
It's thick. Steam rising.
I know. Humidity. Yeah. Humidity. So when I first moved to the South, actually, growing up, I had crazy long hair. I know people were probably not going to be able to imagine this, but I had super long hair living out West. And then, full-blown heavy metal Holocaust, was totally into it, you know, playing guitar and whatever, right? And then I took tours of colleges down South, and it was like, I mean, just the humidity. And I was like, hey, if I decide to go to a school down South, I'm shaving my head. Is what I decided, right? That thick humidity. I was taking tours down in Savannah, Georgia. I mean, SCAD. I mean, the thickest,
muggy, just.
No, oh, dude, 10 o'clock at night, just like, it's like swimming while walking to the hotel, right? And I was like, all right, I'm going to SCAD. We're absolutely shaving my head. And so I went from like crazy long hair to just totally bicked it. It was crazy. So
all I picture is you walking around looking like the lead singer of Coheed and Cambria.
I knew you were going to say Coheed. I knew you were going to say that because that guy's hair doesn't sit down.
It does not stay down. It just is out. It's just out.
Oh, man. There's a band I haven't listened to in a while. We were into those guys for a little bit. They had some cool storytelling, but then I don't know what happened. I just kind of fell off the Coheed train.
I played them the other day because I had that same thought. And I was like, you know what? I haven't rocked the Coheed in a while.
I mean, how many albums did they put out?
They had that one album that I really liked. I don't even remember the name of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, some like.
But it was like, I mean, it was, you know, a theme. I feel like there was a theme that kind of went, there was a story they were going to tell album by album or something like that. Maybe I'm totally making that up.
Of course there was. I mean, they are the prog rock. They are the new prog rock.
I will rock some Coheed after this pod, actually, in honor of this pod. But yeah, his hair, I don't know what his hair looks like. I mean, you know, like whatever. So,
change that hair. If you have that hair, like you have to rock. That's your brand.
Your carrot top. I mean, you can't change the thing. That's a random thing, but like that's part of the brand, you know?
So, yeah, totally. Speaking of prog rock, I will give a quick shout out to the new Rush tour.
Yeah. Kicked off a couple days ago. Right.
It kicked off a couple days ago, and as most people probably know, Neil Peart, the legendary drummer, the legendary
the best drummer in rock and roll, right? I mean, arguably the best drummer ever in rock and roll?
The most technically
okay
sound drummer in rock and roll, I would say.
All right. I'll go with that.
That's a different debate, but passed away tragically, and so they have...
It's been like 10 years, right? Or how long has it been? Has it been that long?
Yeah, no. I don't think it's been 10, but it's been several years anyway. Yeah. And so they hired a female drummer named Annika...
Yeah, Annika. She's German, right?
I think it's Annika something, yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, and we were, I mean, huge Rush fan.
Yeah.
And a bunch of my buddies were like, hey, they're doing the reunion tour. They're like coming back out with the girl.
You going to
go? Do you want to go? And I'm like,
hey, Annika Niles. Last name's Niles.
I'm like, no.
You're not going to do it. Okay.
That's not Neil. I'm like, it's not Rush without it's Neil. Not. Well, to your point, the tour kicked off a couple of days ago, and I have seen multiple videos and angles specifically of YYZ, which is one of their very difficult instrumentals.
Sure.
And I got to say, dude.
She's crushing it.
She's winning me. She absolutely destroys it.
Yeah.
Absolutely destroys it.
Well, you know, I love Rick Beato, the Atlanta yeah. guy who interviews everybody under the sun and is arguably one of the greatest musician interviewers because he's a technician. He can talk to anybody in any band about any subject. So he can talk to her. He interviewed all three members of Rush, actually. They're all great. But he can talk about tightening drum heads and the different woods of drums. Yeah. He can talk to the engineers about the control situation. He can talk to players about playing. Like, he's a really, really versatile thing. And he had some footage of her playing Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
As did, I think, Eddie Trunk. Remember old Eddie Trunk, like the interview guy or whatever?
Sure.
And the reviews are out of control amazing. Oh, everyone's dude. Like, dude, she's crushing it. So
everyone, universally, everyone's like, okay. Like, we welcome her into the Rush.
Yeah. Pantheon. I mean, the question is, like, how do you learn all those songs, right? And her answer is great. It's like, I don't know. I just went chunk by chunk by chunk and learned how to play them. But then I had to learn how to like emotionally do it or you know what I mean, like how to do it. Like, there's the mechanical precision of playing it, and then there's like the Rush way, you know.
Well, and that makes perfect sense because totally. Nerds everywhere, drum nerds everywhere study that catalog and learn how to play it, but it's so technical that you I would imagine you have to approach it that way, but that's not gonna cut it for real Rush fans. That's not gonna cut it.
Is Rush the only band where you go to a concert and non-drummers are air drumming the entire song, right?
1,000%.
Yeah. I mean, name me another band where no one knows how to play any musical instruments, but they're pretending to play the instrument. Like, it's unbelievable, you know?
Well, I think some of the jam bands.
So are you going to go? I mean, are you converted now? Like, oh man,
I don't know. Cause I don't know when it is and I don't know what, but here's what I'll say. I would go. I would go. If a ticket fell in my lap, I would go. I don't know that I'll seek it out, but there's a good chance a ticket may come my way.
I mean, there's no doubt that they're one of the most technically precise bands I've ever seen live. I mean, and they have been that way literally forever, right? Yeah. So even though those guys are older now, I mean, they're older, dude. Like, I know in my heart of hearts, they wouldn't do it if they couldn't do it.
Correct. Right?
So that it's going to, it's not like, you know, oh no, it's Motley Crue's final tour, and like,
back out. Ooh,
yeah, like, you can't hit those notes anymore. You know, it's like, no. Rush can still, they can still crush it. You know, so.
The other thing they did, which is brilliant, is this is going to be a surprise to some people, but not a ton of female fans, not a high percentage. So let's go out and hire the female drummer who's totally kicking ass.
Yeah.
And maybe even late in our career, we can start to bring in some.
It's bringing in the women. It is.
Female fans. So really, really smart move. And kudos to her for getting.
And they've
out
been
there.
Super honest about it since it was announced. You know, I mean, they did all this stuff in secrecy, and then if you really search out a lot of interviews and a lot of background stuff, it was they were like, "Hey, I don't know that this is going to work." Like, I mean, they had like 10 or something rehearsals, and were like, "Hey, I don't know that this is like maybe we shouldn't do it or whatever that." And then it started to click. You know what I mean? And it's like, I mean, can you imagine playing with guys for like 40 years, 50 years? And then trying to replace one of those core members, you know, who's arguably the top three in any of the world in everyone's list. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, the pressure for her, you know, is legendary. So.
And they're a three piece. You can't hide. There's nowhere to hide.
Dude, you can make an argument. They're all the lead.
They are all the lead.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Getty and
well, speaking, and now, I mean, this is a good segue, I think, though. Speaking of, you know, legendary, epic Rush fans, right?
Yeah.
And you know, specificity to that end, right? I mean, those guys know the whatever like that. I think that does kind of dovetail into today's topic, right? We were thinking about talking about brands that have kind of a cult following. I mean, in Rush, you could consider musicians. I mean, that's a great way to say, hey, you're a cult following. You love that artist, you know, and you take that journey with them. Hey, this album's great, but that album's not so good, but you stick with them, you know?
Right.
So,
That's right.
Cult followings as it relates to brands. 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah. So I thought of a strange one. And I thought about this little roadside gas station.
Okay.
That now has grown up and turned into this wacky quirky. You know,
is there a costumed character that wanders around this gas station?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So we're talking obviously about Buc-ee's.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a great one.
And it is. Have you been to a Buc-ee's?
I have been to a Buc-ee's. I've been to it twice. I've been to two.
It is insane.
It is not for me. I will be the first one to admit it is not for me.
No, but it is for millions of people. And they go, I mean, my daughter has Buc-ee's sweatpants.
Yeah. Merchandise. Yeah.
Because their merch is out of control and people absolutely love that place. I'm with you. Yeah. It's not for me. Although I do love the giant wall of beef jerky that they have.
Yeah,
I'm a big beef jerky aficionado.
Sure, sure. Right? Yeah. I mean, there's absolutely a place in the world for Buc-ee's. I'm not anti-Buc-ee's by any stretch. But like, you go in there to experience the Buc-ee's and it's like, I mean, it's like, it's not going into Disneyland, but it's...
No, it's overload.
It's loud. Overload. It is obnoxious. People are screaming from one side to the other side. Rah, 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 rah. You know, I mean, it's a whole thing.
And people love it. You know, and you know, you're driving down the highway and you see the billboard and it's like Buc-ee's, you know, 138 miles away.
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then you just see billboard after billboard after billboard.
40 miles, you're getting closer.
Getting closer.
How many pumps do they have? I mean, they have like 80 or 100 gas pumps too.
Oh,
I mean,
it is massive. Yeah. It is absolutely massive.
People love that though. I mean, the cult following for a brand for sure.
Yeah. And I was looking, and so I looked it up right before the pod, just real quick, it totally just started off as this little roadside gas station and they just went absolutely bonkers.
Is that really how it started? It was just a small little
roadside gas station.
I think supposedly they pay really well too.
Do they?
Yeah. I've heard that from unsubstantiated, but like, oh, if you're a manager at Buc-ee's, like it's a good job. Well, it's not like just an hourly garbly gook, you know?
So. Having been in one of those places, to manage that place, but I imagine that takes a patient, skilled person to do that. I would want.
Anytime you're wearing the merchandise of the store. Right. Like, oh, you got the pajama pants, as your daughter said, or like you see people, you know, with the Buc-ee's t-shirt or like, they threw a sticker on the back of their car. Like, that's living the brand. You know what I mean? You identify with that there. So that was going to be my next thing. There are plenty of brands, but I kind of almost thought more topically or categorically of this, like speaking of merchandise, my thought was like fashion as a cult following, right? It's like, oh, we've talked about Adidas and Puma and all the different things, stuff like that. But it's like, oh, if you love, you know, Kate Spade or you love LV bags or you love whatever, I mean, that you're going to like, you got to get the Coach, you know, this, and then you just keep going with that train. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It almost becomes this weird collectability aspect. Do you know
Absolutely.
What I mean? So I think fashion brands, I mean, pick one, Kate Spade, whatever, you know, any of those things, you know, it's like, oh, I love Calvin Klein. I always wear Calvin Klein, this, that, and whatever. And it's like, oh, that's what I buy. I buy that thing because it fits me well. And I don't change horses, you know,
which
I always thought was interesting, you know? So,
well, you know, another random thought I just had, you know, in this day and age where trends come and go so quickly, right?
Yeah.
Fads, news cycles. I mean, everything is just
your 15 minutes of Haktua.
It's there and it is dead. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I last night I was in my daughter's room talking to my daughter and I said, oh, don't forget to take your water bottle tomorrow. She was doing a thing today. I said, don't forget to take your water bottle, your Stanley. And she just looked at me and was like, Stanley? And she's like, Dad, that's not a Stanley. It's a, what was it? It's the logo with the like
Hydro Flask.
Yeah. Maybe it was a Hydro Flask. It was some other one.
Yeah.
But she, I mean, it was as if I had offended her.
Yeah.
Like, she was like, Stanley. And I was like, she goes, you remember when Stanley was a thing? And I was like, yeah, you had to have like 8 of them.
Oh my God.
Like, and so I don't, so that was my point. Like, I mean, there are all these trends that come, like Stanley came along, and I don't know about your household, but like my kids all had to have Stanleys.
Yeah,
and
we've got way overpriced. We've got the Dillons, the alkaline things.
Everybody's
the
got them.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
way too expensive.
Yeah,
and now apparently Stanleys, it's coming on. Like we're done.
I don't know about you, man, but I grew up drinking water from a garden hose, you know, outside.
Yeah, yeah. And like, I would lean over the kitchen faucet, you know.
Exactly. And now it's like a fashion accessory, You know, I mean, I mean, I've got my Yeti and I sticker everything as, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so does everybody else. So
I do too. That's
speaking of, have you seen those Yeti commercials that have been out and about now? All the Yeti, Yeti on TV?
I don't think so.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I finally saw like a Yeti television commercial and it's great. And now I see it everywhere. I can't stop seeing it. So
is it like a, I imagine it's just beautiful. Like, it's not like tongue in cheek funny, right? I mean, I imagine
No. So it's
beautifully cinematic. Like,
yeah, it's decent music. It's, I mean, here I'm describing a commercial. People can just look these things up, but like, it's just, it's a vignette of stock photography, stock shots. It's not like one long thing. So it's constant, you know, and they use the Yeti logo, which is just simple sans serif, four letters in their little cartouche, right? In the little, it's blue and the white with the whatever. And dead center of the middle of the screen, they only use four letter words, right? And
that's
it's all four letter words inside the thing. And it's a different image behind, and they just keep changing the word, right? Just over and over and over. So it's work. I mean, I'm not going to remember all the words or whatever that.
Play,
and
it
doesn't really tell a story, but it kind of gives you like the emotion. And it's like, it's outdoor stuff. It's indoor. It's all just cases, you know, it's like Rams that are hitting each other. It's got all these weird different things, you know?
Yeah.
And then the end card obviously is just their logo, you know, it's just Yeti at the end. Right. So
super simple. That's great. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's really cool. But speaking of like water bottle brands, I mean, but hey, Yeti ties in perfectly to what we're talking about. That's been a cult following brand forever. I mean, remember when we went to Surf Expo and it's like, we don't need, we're here with our trade show booth.
We're already sold out. We can't take any orders.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have any product to sell or anything because we're like,
manufacturing was so backed up that they were like, we can't even write any orders here.
I know.
Kind of hanging out.
I know.
You know, it's funny. I went fishing on a week ago, Sunday, and I packed a Yeti cooler that I have. Yeah. And it's one of those ones with the backpack and the magnet, you know, that's that one. And I'm proud to say I did not pay for this. This was
I mean, Yeti brand is expensive as can be.
Way expensive, but it was a corporate gift. And I finally, because I'm a fan. I'm a Yeti fan. I like what they do.
I drink out of one every single morning.
Took it fishing and put it in the boat, and it's the backpack one. And I finally just looked at my buddy and I was like, I don't like Yeti soft coolers. I said it. I can't do the Yeti soft cooler. Like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Because they still haven't figured out how to open right, and they can't. Yeah. They're just not great. Like, they're just. Yeah. Sorry, Yeti, but like you got to.
They're heavy too. Well, they're heavy and it's awkward, you know? Yeah. So,
I mean, the hard plastic one is great.
Yeah.
You know, they make a soft one that's like a six pack one that you open, that opens like, and those are fine. But anytime there's a backpack situation, I'm calling it.
I think it's a good idea because they're so heavy. When you put ice in them and all stuff like that, and you load them with drinks, and you're like, oh, shit, like, how am I going to carry this thing, you know? So, especially if you're carrying those big ones down to the dock. So I think that's why the backpack kind of became a thing, but I'm with you. It's not the easiest, you know?
It's not ideal. Not ideal.
My other one I thought about was, and this is, again, kind of off topic from cultish, you know, brand following is, I think people become brand followers through a fantastic marketing, dare I say, gimmick of membership rewards points. I can only stay at Marriott properties because I'm a Bonvoy member, right?
That's right.
And I gotta become a Silver Elite, or I only fly you know, Delta Airlines because my Sky Miles and the you know, right? So, you know, I was thinking about, like, you know, do I love, you know, I'm a Bonvoy guy, right? Do I love Bonvoy hotels? I don't know. Sure. I mean, the Westin is a great hotel. I'll go out to San Francisco. I stay at the W or stay at the Westin or whatever. You know what I mean? You know, and then every single hotel, I mean, even IHG, right? They have the tier down to nothing, you know? I kind of just need a light switch and a bed if I'm just going on a business trip. I don't need anything fancy. If I'm going somewhere for a vacation, I want something better, right?
Correct.
But I do find myself going, nope, I'm going to selectively choose from the pool in that city because I want to keep the Bonvoy thing going, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I don't know that I love Bonvoy. I do love American Express and membership rewards points. I mean, those are great. But I find it interesting that I think people align with what's already in in the hopper, right? Yeah. Because it simplifies the choice, and then you feel like maybe you're getting something back from utilizing their services. Well, so it kind of trapped us, you know?
It's almost gamified in a way, if you want to take it even one step further. I mean, I'm a Delta guy.
Yeah. Through and through.
And I said on the other podcast, like, it's one of my favorite apps.
Yeah.
Because I check it all the time to see, I've made this, you know, I've made the next level or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you take the marriage of Delta and Amex.
Yeah.
And dare I say, Wonder Twin powers activate.
Totally.
That's a good
one. I told you, I've taken a bunch of JetBlue flights, and you're like, what in the hell is wrong with you? And I'm like, dude, I got to tell you, I mean, I've been never not Delta for, you know, 28 years. And I'm like, I don't know, man. JetBlue's pretty damn nice. Like, I mean, I'm just, you know, like, I'm down with JetBlue. And I know, but you're like, never. No JetBlue. And it's like, I don't know, man. Is it better than Delta? No. It's an airplane. You fly from here to there. You do whatever. You know, I mean, it's not Frontier, for crying out loud. I mean, there are levels, don't get me wrong, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, you just get, I think that the cult following for brands, you know, is exacerbated by rewards points. And to your point, the gamification of services, which is interesting. So,
and let's be honest. I mean, living in Atlanta, Delta is a beautiful thing. I mean, you can go nonstop to anywhere in the world. So, I mean, that kind of forces you into the Delta club, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To some degree. But I will say, the other thing that they do really well, I'm on a tangent, but once you get, Delta does a really good job of customer service when you get to the higher levels, right? The different status levels.
Sure.
I mean, they're coming around saying, oh, hello, Rob. Welcome aboard. Yeah. Great. Yeah. Thanks for being a Diamond member. Da, da, da. I mean, they're actually really good about acknowledging. Wow. And that goes a long way.
Yeah.
You're like, well, hello. Yeah. Good to see you again. Glad to be back.
I mean, it's Chick-fil-A customer service, right? I mean, it's, hey, we're going to make sure that we say things.
My pleasure.
Yeah, exactly. Don't say thank you, you know? I mean, if we were doing this podcast 10 years ago, we probably would have said a lot of brands like Apple, right? Or a lot of technology brands, right? Like, I got the Apple sticker. I put it on my car. I stand in line for iPhones. You know, I'm aligned with, you know, I mean, to the point where they had that old campaign about I'm a Mac and I'm a PC, you know, and like the Mac is the cool guy. It's Justin, whatever his name was, you know, things like that, right? I mean, a lot of technology brands, I think people are cultish and kind of evangelical about, you know, but I don't know if that's really the case. I mean, it's kind of just kind of part of our life now, right? Like,
yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. They were talking about, somebody was talking the other day because Apple did their, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah, they did it yesterday.
One of their developer
WWDC
or whatever. And basically they're like, hey, Siri. We're going to make Siri like AI now. They're a little behind the times. But point being, you know, it used to be back in the Steve Jobs days, it was like, dude, I mean, people, those were events. Like, were like cult events. Yeah. We got people camping out at stores, which maybe they still do. Maybe they don't. Yeah. I don't know. But product announcements, I mean, those things were events. Now it's like, no offense to Tim Cook, but it's like, these are all pre-taped.
Yeah.
Blah, blah. Like, they have completely.
It used to, I mean, Steve Jobs had like encores. It was like, thank you everybody for coming to Apple, you know, blah, 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 you know, 2015. And it'd be like, But wait,
there's more.
What's under this sheet? You know what I mean? You know, and it was like, and then it would be like a whole nother presentation about this magical new device, right?
That's right.
People would be standing, cheering, clapping. It was literally like an encore at a Rush show, you know, to bring this all the way back around. Yeah, now it's, I read an interesting article about that WWDC, and it was, it's interesting. It's not about new products. It's about making the products better and making them work. Because I think holistically across everything, I would agree, or my opinion is, I mean, technology doesn't work as well now as it did 10 years ago. I mean, technology is better, but it doesn't work as well. Like, it's almost like, remember when things worked? And now we just put up with the fact that like, Amazon AWS is down, up, Twitter's down, Comcast has an outage. Like nothing works as well anymore. Yeah, there are more features, there's more whatever, but there's literally zero consistency in any technology brand right now, which is interesting. Like things just don't work as well. So our phones don't work as well. I mean, it's almost like it's like we're going all the way back around the horn again and like getting drop calls again. Like I've had more dropped calls in the last, you know, call it year than I did the previous like 8 to 10 years beforehand. It's weird, you know? So
mine is just, you'd think we've figured out how to block spam calls, but we can't.
My God.
And I don't know about you, but apparently I have some unresolved tax matter that people feel the need to call me, I don't know, 8 times a day.
The good news is I've been qualified for new roofs, you know, from every company.
That's amazing.
Good news. Our inspection, came up with the fact that you qualify for a new roof. Okay, okay, great. That's thank you.
I get the random text message that's, by the way, we're doing tree service in your neighborhood. Oh, would you like any limbs cut down?
Yeah. Like, I mean,
what?
Yeah.
Anyway.
So,
Go, well, we're probably around the corner here because we've done we're a bit over time. But go ahead, rapid fire. Give me a couple more.
No. I don't have any more. No, I think just anything that has any type of storytelling component to it, I think is what people will identify with. So, you know, I mentioned fashion, and you know, there's a storyteller there. You know, we could talk about like storytelling properties like Star Wars and things like people where you like feel like you're part of the journey, which gives you like kind of bizarre toxic fandom, I think, to a certain extent, you know what I mean? Right. Because you feel ownership of those things, but those people will never leave those brands. If I'm a Trekker and I'm into Star Trek, you know, like you're never going to leave that brand. Right. Which is interesting. So, and people are like that about Game of Thrones, about HBO, you know? So I think brand storytelling too is kind of an interesting aspect of thinking about cultish,
look, sports teams.
People
don't abandon their sports teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, even if you move all the way, you know, if you're from New York and you move down to California, I mean, you don't abandon the Knicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Do you think the Knicks are going to do it? Knicks are going to do it, or the Spurs are going to do it?
Here's what I can tell you, and I'm not a huge.
I haven't watched a single game,
I did watch game three. I did watch the one the Knicks lost the other night.
Yeah.
Which was, here's what's going to happen. New York is going to go to ruins whether they win or lose. They're going to destroy the city. I think the Knicks will do it.
Yeah,
I think it's their time. I think it's going to be the Knicks.
Yeah.
San Antonio looked great the other night, but the Knicks came roaring. I mean, they got a good squad. So I don't know. We'll see. We got game four tonight. I think the Knicks will do it. Obviously, they won't win tonight. But
all right, last one sports prediction, and then we can jump off. Does the USA beat Paraguay in LA in a few days?
Absolutely.
We do.
Okay. Absolutely.
What's your score prediction?
2-0.
Ooh, okay. I was gonna go 2-1. 2-1 USA. I mean, I think a homer.
I'm telling you, we looked pretty good in our last friendly. We looked pretty good. So I am. That was nice to see before the tourney starts.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It was nice to see them and go, whoa, all right.
Agreed.
I'm kind of getting behind the boys now.
All right. So. Well, we put it on tape. We're putting it on the internet. Let's hope it comes to pass. You know,
let's do it. World Cup kicks off tomorrow afternoon. So I know. Very exciting.
I can't. How are we going to watch all these games? You know.
Well, I was talking to my wife, and I'm like, babe, I don't think you understand what's about to happen. Like how much TV I'm about to watch. There's literally games on every single day. For the next month and a half or 2 months or whatever it is. So very exciting. So go USA Friday night.
Yep.
9:00, Paraguay, however you want to say it. Tune in.
Yeah, it's going to be
all
awesome.
Right. Where can the people find us, Tom?
The people can find us online at mocktheagency.com and all the socials. So,
all right, everybody.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time.